Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode has been sponsored by Generation UCAN. More about our sponsor later on in the show. You're listening to episode 195 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to tell you how to convert your non-running friends into runners. This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got The Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond. Hey, runners, and welcome to episode 195. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan.
And we are the hosts of this weekly podcast. We're back with a very fun episode, which will teach you how to make your loved ones into runners.
Make them subscribe to the Marathon Running Podcast.
And that's it.
And with that,
have a great week of running.
No, just kidding.
We're just kidding. So thank you to everyone for tuning in. If you are a new listener, we do have a weekly podcast where we give you a lot of information, expert-based advice, etc.
And some podcasts are just tips like this one.
Yes. And this is kind of a spinoff. I recently listened to an audiobook on my drive back from Orlando, and it was a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, which was kind of interesting. It's a book from the 1930s that has some good pointers that are, you know, still very, very valid today. And I feel like a lot of people that have written books after him have kind of used his tips. And so look up the book. I'm bringing this up because it kind of made me think about today's topic. I recently had an influx of running friends that have spouses that they are trying to turn into runners. And Ryan, just as a spouse yourself, and you trying to convince me to join some of your sports, what do you think are some reasons why you would want to make another person join your sport and, you know, try to make them fall in love with it as well?
Well, so far I've been much less successful in getting you to join my sports as you've been getting me to join your sports. So maybe you should be the one that gives tips today, not me. But like with anything, it's a lot of times it's more fun to have someone with you. It doesn't have to be a spouse, but it could be a friend or someone else. Most things are more fun when shared with others as opposed to by yourself. But
not just fun, also shared pain, right? That's one of the things I've written down when I thought about this. Shared pain, because nothing says I love you like commiserating over muscle soreness or mileage that you're trying to hit and you can't quite make it.
Misery loves company.
Exactly. Another reason to convince your, and in this case, spouse or a loved one that you're cohabitating with, is because it makes for guilt-free spending. Because, you know, when you're doing something that your spouse doesn't do, you're having to justify why you're spending this much money on a running shoe. Just think about the super shoes now that we have. You know, a pair of Alpha Flies is now $275. And the non-running spouse, or I guess I'm just going to call it partner from now on, I guess the non-running partner is going to be like, why are you spending this much money on a shoe? Whereas if your partner is also a runner, then they understand why you definitely need that super shoe. And you can splurge on that. Same with race entry fees. And you don't have to feel as guilty about it.
Yes. Yeah. And then I think another thing too is just time spent with the people you enjoy. That could be friend or significant other or whoever. We're all pretty busy nowadays with like you know, most people having jobs or working and having other things in their life. And so if there's one more thing you can spend time with your favorite people with, that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that you can do is you can kind of elevate and deepen your relationship. Because if you think about it, you're both striving to run a marathon and you see another side of your spouse. Maybe you've never seen that person competitive with themselves or even with you and go to certain length that normally they wouldn't. Normally they're at home, they're playing with the kids, everything's nice and mellow. And now you're kind of deepening it because you go to those pain caves, kind of like we did in Sweden, right? When you're running the marathon, I was talking to you about your pain caves and all that stuff. I feel like it kind of
pain
makes
you... Pain caves? I don't remember pain caves ever.
It makes you bond more.
Yeah, or even a better understanding or of people, you know, that you're spending time with. If you can see them in challenging situations or different situations, you can understand them more or just get a better understanding of who they are.
Yeah, and maybe you see stuff that you like and some stuff you don't like.
That's true.
And last but not least, what I think is you can plan vacations around the marathon, which I personally absolutely love. And you've come to love that too. You are going to run your second marathon ever in the city of Rome. Again, another untrained marathon, but you have yourself said that there's really nothing better than seeing a city on foot on closed roads and experiencing that. And so, you know, running makes for great getaways as well.
Yeah, I think that's a perk for sure for the marathon running or any running. I think traveling, but even just getting outside and seeing new places in your own city or neighborhood is also fun. So we've come up with a lot of compelling reasons as to why to spend or to include your significant other or friends in running. Now, how do we do that?
Yeah, so we've come up with a compelling guide for you that you can try out on those people that you love and let us know how it works or if it works, of course, right? So step number one is spark their interest. And how do you spark someone's interest? I feel like you can inspire someone by telling them stories. Tell them some inspiring stories about somebody's running journey. For example, if I'm trying to lose my pregnancy weight, and Ryan is talking to me about some inspiring stories on how people, you know, just by picking up a few miles here and there.
I would not touch that with a 10-foot pole because you'd be like, do you think I'm fat? Why do you want me to run? Do you think I'm fat? So there is no way that I would ever be telling you inspirational stories about how other people lost their pregnancy weight while you just gave birth. There is no way that that is good advice in any facet of this. Like, do not do that with your significant other. As a guy, I'll tell you, it's not going to turn out well.
Well, I didn't mean it that way. I kind of meant, you know, you are in an intimate relationship with someone and they know that you're struggling and they know that, hey, I'm not really happy with where I'm at right now. And so then I would definitely welcome some tips on, hey, look, I've read something online that, look, this is a good way of increasing your metabolism and it has these perks. Why don't we both give it a try? But
I think taking a more supportive role in that situation is better than taking the role of saying, look at this person who lost 20 pounds or 30 pounds right after their pregnancy by running a lot. Come on, go run with me.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I didn't mean it that way, but maybe I'm just more blunt in that sense.
And it's okay if you have that type of relationship that you can be blunt. I think it's not a problem. But I feel like for a lot of people, you want to tread lightly.
Yeah, no, I can see that. All right, maybe Ryan, you can come up with another example on how to spark someone's interest.
I think so. Everyone's going to be different, you know, and if you know who you're dealing with and what they kind of like, you can kind of maybe cater it towards that. I really thought it was fun when we started running in California because it was a nice group and people would chat and talk on the way and we went to interesting places when we ran that were scenic. And then afterwards, we got a nice breakfast and the whole experience was like, it was just a fun outing, in a sense. And the whole thing was fun and it made it very, very much more interesting than just running by yourself or doing something simple. So if the person that you're trying to convince is a social person and likes to do those activities, you can show them the social side of things. Likewise, if someone is into nature, you can take them on, you know, some nature runs or things like that that might get them interested. and they can kind of incorporate the things that they like into the thing you like, which is the running.
What about a person that has never run before and hated running in high school? I know that in America they do the mile in high school, and most people that end up being runners never like that. How do you inspire a person that has never had a love for running to do that? I think it's really difficult to start something new. I mean, just look at me, you trying to talk me into sailing and all that stuff. I've never done that in my life. And, you know, you have some hesitations.
Yeah, I mean, so we're still on the spark the interest thing. I think, so fortunately with running, it seems to be a good habit in general. And if you look at a lot of the things that come out, it seems to be healthy for you, for the most part. Obviously, you can take it to an extreme. But so things that can spark their interest is, you know, doing it for their health. I think as people get older, they become more conscious in their health and how they're, take, you know, whether or not they're going to take care of themselves. So that could be a way of sparking their interest.
I can see that. So maybe the runner in the relationship can watch some inspirational documentaries or movies about running, or have the loved one accompany them to running events, because I can see how being a spectator, you know, I just was a spectator last weekend, how inspiring that is to just being in that community and cheering someone on, and everybody has a different goal.
So I can see how inspirational movies or going to an event where you actually are live and you hear people cheering and you see all the emotions. I think that helps. You can maybe even encourage them to do a race with you or something, but a small one to start.
And
that way they can go through those emotions themselves and hopefully get hooked on it.
Yes. So the seed has been planted, and obviously, yes, there's a huge intimidation factor. As much as it is fun to cheer on a race, of course, it's intimidating to be the person running. But I guess, that takes us to step number two. Once the person has agreed to maybe give running a try, and I don't feel like it needs to be including a big race. I think you can set attainable goals. That should be step number two. And the goals could be something that's important and realistic and also specific. For example, fitness-based goals, not necessarily goals that are vague, like I want to get in shape. So your goal could be, I want to run a 5K without stopping, rather than to get in shape.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that hopefully can be worked out together, you know, kind of figure out what both parties want out of it. I think if you've encouraged them to try, then you kind of can go after, like, what do you want from this, or what can we get both gain from this? And that way you can set goals based on that, maybe.
Yeah. And I think it's also not wrong to say, hey, I just want to finish this race, right? Like a 5K with a goal of finishing it. I think that's very low pressure, and you are more likely to not be nervous about it. Even if you want to stop, even if you want to walk a little bit, just go do it. Because I think once you do one of them, I think that kind of helps the hook.
Yeah. And I think it can be assumed without saying, but patience will be very important in the whole process. And I think if you're the one trying to encourage somebody else to join your activity, being very patient is good. And hopefully over time will pay off by both of you guys enjoying the same activities.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, I mean, I guess with that, yes, it is also important to set short-term and long-term goals, but I think at the time of just trying it, I feel like it's not that important to talk about it being this thing of like, okay, within a year, you're going to run a marathon. I think setting those big goals can be a little bit overwhelming rather than just living in the moment a bit more.
Yeah, but it does make sense to maybe make some small goals so that way you have something to aspire to or look forward to.
Yeah. So then step number three is planning some fun activities. So Ryan, the easiest way of getting your children to run, I read somewhere, is just having it be something that is fun and not even necessarily running, right? With kids, they suggest aerobic stuff like soccer or even gymnastics, where kids play and run around and they don't even realize that they are running a certain distance. And I think for adults, obviously you're not going to take your friend, partner, whatever, to go play soccer. But I think you can go running in places that are super fun. You can run through cities. You can go to trails. You can go to parks. beach track around the neighborhood. And, you know, it doesn't have to be all running. You could do a run hike or biking or just something that makes them be active, because I think in the long run, that'll all kind of funnel into the running anyway.
Where it'll at least make their aerobic fitness better and then make running more fun probably for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's next?
So next would be step number 4. And I think you have mentioned this in the previous podcast before, how to make something more fun. If you've lost your love for running, how can you resparkle that again? And I guess the same thing goes for a new runner, investing in proper running gear, because finding that gear that makes running more fun, you know, having a sports bra that really fits, or if you live in an area where it's really hot and you're sweating a lot, having proper gear can make a huge difference.
Yeah, I agree. And not even just the proper gear, but sometimes just buying new things or even researching before you buy instead of just whimsically buying, it kind of makes you more excited to try it out and see how it works or if it's fun, if it lives up to its research or its hype.
So you as a runner could help that new person familiarize themselves with something. I think as a runner, as a person that has been a runner for a while, the benefit of a new runner having you is that you've already kind of been through it and you can give a lot of tips, and that is going to be super helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Or get them in the right direction and help them through the process of finding the things they need.
And also sign them up for Strava, because we all know that if it's not on Strava, it doesn't count. And, you know, I feel like Strava has become...
You should have, like, Strava as a sponsor if you're going to notify them in every single thing. But
do I?
I don't know. You said it before, but like it does make it more fun having these apps now, these social platforms, basically, that allow you to compare or encourage others and talk about your activities. I think that definitely helps. It kind of makes it more fun, whether it be Strava or anyone else, unless Strava wants to pay us, then we can say Strava every time.
Yeah, but I don't really know if there's anything else but Strava. So Strava is kind of like the Facebook of running, or I guess the Instagram. And I know people that have stayed away from social media, but they're on Strava. And so now that Strava-enabled messaging, it's kind of like social media. But
so along with patience, which cannot emphasize the importance of enough, step 5 is also to start slow and gradual. I think most of the time, whenever you try to teach or instruct a close friend or close person or significant other, whoever it might be, to yourself, it can be difficult, because a lot of times you probably have less patience with that person than you might have with a stranger, given that you're around them all the time. And some of the characteristics of our personalities tend to wear on each other the longer you are together. But if you're willing to see the big picture and be very patient and take things slow and gradual, I think that the outcome or the payoff is worth it. But I would definitely think that going into it with that mindset will help a lot.
Okay, so to that starting slow and gradual, it is important, if you're new to running, to start slow. You guys know that. You know, they have some rules of thumbs to not increase your mileage by more than a certain percentage.
Well, as a runner that's maybe more experienced, they should know that there's so many disadvantages to going too fast, injuries, you know, motivation. And that's a lot of the things we've talked about in our other podcasts. But a new runner, you know, might not know that. So it's good to get them, you know, to start slow and gradual and therefore not discourage them before they get to the point where they might enjoy it.
Exactly. And to your patience, I want to add that it's also nice, you know, we've learned so much about easy running being so important. Run slow with your person, because I think there's not many things that are worse than getting completely discouraged at the outset of your run. I think now that I've been running for a really long time, you know, I go out with people that are much faster than me anyway, and I get left behind and it doesn't matter to me. I'm just motivated to keep going. But when I was new to running, if I would have ran with a group that would completely leave me behind in the dust, I don't know if I would have returned. So keep that in mind. So when you go running with your person, go their pace and make it something fun for them. Maybe have a great conversation and make them not feel that pressure so much of having to keep a certain pace. Go with their pace.
Yeah, to that point too, in my experience, you know, if I'm ever significantly, say, faster than somebody else, it really is not that big of a deal for me to go fast and then wait a little bit, you know, after a set period of time, wait, let the person catch up and then continue on. It really is, in most cases, it's not that bad at all. Whereas the perception of the person behind might be that, oh, I'm holding this person up, you know, all I'm doing is ruining their run and things like that. So communication, I think, is key in that point. So, I mean, you can definitely, I think, start off running at their pace or running slow in order to make sure that they don't get discouraged right away, but then have the discussion and tell them, like, look, it really, if I go ahead in a little bit and I wait, it's really not that big of a deal to me. I don't care at all. I kind of enjoy the break, if that's you. But if you tell them that ahead of time and make sure that you communicate it well so they don't feel left out or discouraged or anything else by being like a weight on your training or holding you back, then I think that will help prevent roadblocks to getting them to your running pleasure or whatever enjoyment.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think I agree with that so much because when you and I were first together, I introduced you to this running group that met every Sunday in Los Angeles running up the Rustic Canyon. And it's an area that had a very high climb. And this particular running group had three different stops on that 4 mile trail and then go downhill back afterwards. And it was very nice to have these stops because you would have runners of all ability and it felt so inclusive to be running with the fast people and slower people. And everybody would reach the points, wait for each other. It felt much better than, you know, joining a running group where everybody starts together and people finish and then, you know, that's it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. I think in that case, it was kind of almost forced because it was a steeper uphill. So you just naturally would stop and take a breath. But think of that in your, even if it's not in that situation, and you're just doing a normal run. Like say you would do a normal 5 mile run and you would do it all continuous, but the person you're running with may be a much slower pace. I think it's so much more enjoyable to me, to everyone involved really, is if you pick like, you know, say two stops along the way at least or something where you just stop and wait for the person and you don't just immediately take off when the other person gets there, but you chat, you know, you both catch your breath a little bit and then you continue on. And just having that like interaction, if you're going to be apart by running, is makes it much more fun.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, again, for the naysayers for stopping on runs. The whole reason for this podcast is how to get a person that you love or like to become a runner. So, you know, obviously this will change with the whole stopping versus non-stopping as they progress in their own running. With that, the next step, step number six that we have written down here is to track the progress, because tracking the progress can be a great way of staying motivated and see how far you've come. I'm not talking about before or after picture. I guess I could be talking about that because your body will change sometimes, but also your paces will inevitably change. So I'm going to mention Strava again. That's a great way of, you know, tracking stuff, but maybe even have them, you know, start a little journal of how much they ran. After I had my second child and I wanted to qualify for Boston, I hung a calendar on the wall and I would put down every day that I would run, I would put the mileage. And in the beginning, it wasn't a lot at all. It was like a mile every third day or so. And then when I was training for a marathon, those miles increased. And it was kind of nice to look at that and see how far I had come.
Well, given the majority of people now have phones or stuff too, maybe you have an old watch or something you could let them use, or even use your watch. They can accumulate miles that way and keep track of it. But if Strava's listening, give us both lifetime memberships and we'll promise to mention Strava at least once every episode. Lifetime memberships only.
All right.
Wall calendars are really, I don't know, I feel like that's like something people did in the past. I don't really write things on hand calendars on the wall anymore. But I mean, yeah, it could work.
Look what's right next to you. We have a wall calendar with our vacation on it.
I know.
And it's kind of nice to have that visualization.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, it is neater to look at, you know, a whole year. And at the moment, most of our smartphone screens are too small to, like, really see a whole year's worth of stuff easily So I can understand why you like it a bit. However you do it, it's kind of nice to track some progress and see improvement or so. Fun thing about running too is that naturally almost everyone, if they just put the time in, will get better. So you will likely see progress.
Yes. And that brings us to step number 7. And we've kind of all throughout talked about it, but we just want to mention that providing encouragement and support is so, so, so important. It's one of the best things you can do to provide them with feedback, let them know that you're proud of them and that you're there for them every step of the way. I know that everybody has different love languages. I know I've talked to you, Ryan, about that a lot. So know your person and know what they want. If they're, you know, receptive to gifts or knickknacks, then do that for them. If you know they like words of encouragement, then give them that.
I think running is a neat sport in general because typically the goal is not to win. I mean, there are obviously some people that are winning marathons or winning races. But typically the focus is more on completion rather than actual winning. And it's also mostly competing with yourself more so than maybe some other sports. So I think that's kind of neat and probably overall gives a better camaraderie in the sport. Like you're not really fighting against anyone in particular. You're kind of just racing yourself. So encouragement and support is inherent in running itself and a lot of these events. And so it really caters towards that.
No, exactly. And with that, you could also celebrate milestones that you reach. Kind of make them a big deal, right? It's kind of like what we do with kids when they potty train. You like clap when they do something, you know, remind them, hey, you're on this running program and you have been running 2 miles without stopping. As silly as it sounds to seasoned runners, I feel like that's a big deal. I remember exactly when I ran 2 miles when I was 22 for the first time, and it was very strenuous and very, very hard. And so I think for running, celebrate every single milestone all the way, because it's such a huge and beneficial thing that you're doing for your body, for yourself, for your mind later on. So I think that encouragement and celebration is a must.
Yeah, I think you don't have to be somebody that's an extrovert that wants to just jump up and down and scream and yell or anything else. Even something as simple as like a fist bump, you know, like Lenny's much more extrovert and I'm much more introvert. So like even something simple, like just a little fist bump or something, given that both people are maybe sweaty after a long run or something like that is kind of fun and it's nice. It kind of makes you feel included and encouragement. It helps with the encouragement.
I mean, I want fireworks, but I get a fist bump. Now you guys know how my life goes.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
At this time, we want to thank our sponsor, UCAN. Are you tired of a spike and crash and GI distress that comes with the sugar-based sports nutrition? It's time to give UCAN a try. UCAN uses steady-release carbs instead of sugars, so you don't feel the highs and the lows in energy. UCAN powders, gels, and bars are powered by Life Steady, a patent starch-based carbohydrate that was originally developed as a medical food to help children maintain stable blood sugar throughout the night. It's backed by science and truly unique in energy source. Clinically proven to help blood sugar stable during exercise, Live Steady supports sustained performance and optimal energy levels. I've tried UCAN now for the past couple of months and I've been happy with my long runs and how I feel. Also, they don't taste bad and after mile 15, I can still stomach them. Top marathon runners in the U.S., including Emily Sisson, Sarah Hall, Emma Bates, and Kiara D'Amato all use UCAN for fuelings. So why shouldn't you give them a try? especially because Marathon Running podcast listeners have a chance to try 4 gels for free. All you pay for is the cost of shipping. So head over to youcan.co/MRP, which, by the way, stands for Marathon Running Podcast, to claim this offer and get your free samples. If you are already using YouCan and you want that 20% discount, you can just go to youcan.co and save those 20% with code MRP. We're also having all this linked in our show notes. And now back to the show. So with that, the biggest step, number 8, that I recommend is introduce them to your running friends. Make it easy for them. I've used this analogy over and over. Running is kind of like church, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but we've recently had a friend move to a different city, and all he had to do is look up running clubs, and he felt at home within 2 months. Obviously, you got to move to a city that has great running clubs, but the running community is so amazing. It's so open to newcomers because you all come from different backgrounds, but you have one thing in common, which is the love for running. You're running while you have endorphins. You have deeper conversations because, you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. You're out there with no makeup. You don't have to make eye contact. And you talk about your bowel movements, which, you know, you...
Whoa.
The listeners know what I'm talking about, Ryan. You just don't run enough at 5 o'clock in the morning without makeup on.
Yeah, I think with anything, you got to cater towards the person, right? I mean, some people are going to be much more social and they'll want that aspect in their life. And if they are social and then you can show them how social running can be, I think it's can be really helpful in encouraging them to participate. I like having a small group. It's like, I don't really care about the big groups as much. But that's what I'm saying is you gotta cater towards the person a little bit. Most people would like some social aspect to it, but don't also push somebody into something that's, you know, super social that they may be an introvert because they won't like that. And that won't be pleasant for them. Letty's just having a hard time because she's so social. She can't understand how anyone else would not want to be in a huge group of people surrounded by more people on top of people.
It is difficult for me to understand, especially, you know, because the running community is so great. But I do have a lot of introverted friends, believe it or not, through Instagram. And they still have their, you know, Instagram running accounts.
And you have yet to meet them because they're introverts.
That's very true. I've never met them in person. But no, I did meet a few at races. But I mean, I see what you're saying and I do understand.
It sounds very scripted.
I think that's the last tip that we had.
Hopefully between the rambling, there was some good information there.
Yes, we'll try to transcribe this and make it into some good show notes.
Okay, before we leave, Letty, if you could picture your ideal, say, running day, like day of the week, experience everything, what's your picture perfect best, you know, say, running experience?
Okay, so my perfect day would be waking up in Los Angeles and going to our running group on a Saturday, which usually is at 7 a.m. And it's a large group with different paces, very social. And then afterwards, having coffee with your running friends.
So early morning, large group, very social, food after, basically.
Yeah.
And so mine's a little different. Like I like smaller group. I do like getting up in the morning, maybe not super early, but I like getting up in the morning so that you have your whole day ahead of you. I love getting back and feeling like you still have a whole day left. And I also, I really liked the snack or eating portion of it. I think, to me, meals in general are just like so much more enjoyable after you've done some good exercise. And so that would be my scenario. Smaller group. Doesn't have to be as social, just like good friends, closer friends. And Letty's been trying to move back to Los Angeles ever since we left Los Angeles. And
eventually I'll get my way.
Or divorce, one of the two.
And with that, stay tuned for next week's podcast. We don't have the topic yet. We're very sorry. But we've been receiving a lot of notes and inspirations, especially from shout out to Sarah. Thank you so much for your topic suggestions. Very helpful, very insightful. And we'll go over the list. There's been some really good ones there. Thank you so much for tuning in.
And with that,
have a great week of running with your loved ones. maybe. Thanks for tuning in. For more information and marathon running news, please head to www.marathonrunningpodcast.com, and we'll be back next week.